This episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Literati. Go to literati.com/accidentalcreative to find your perfect book club and sign up today. This episode is also brought to you by Patreon. Start creating on your own terms. Sign up today at patreon.com. That's patreon.com. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of the brand new book, The Motivation Code, available now wherever books are sold. Discover what drives your best work. Go to motivationcode.com to learn more. So in times of stress or in times of uncertainty, I often turn to people that I know and I trust, people whose voices, for me, can speak clarity into uncertain circumstances. And I think many of us right now, I mean, uncertainty's kind of been the word of the last several months. I think we're all very uncertain about this time, about when this time is going to be over, about what our right next step might be, regardless of our role. I think all of us are sort of reevaluating a lot of what's going on in our life and our work and the portfolio of what makes life life for us. And so I thought over the course of several episodes, maybe I would invite some people who are voices of clarity into the conversation. These are people who are voices of clarity in the marketplace, people who are advisors, people who are consultants, coaches, people who see a broad array of things consistently and are able to speak clarity into a wide number of circumstances. And so today I invited on the show Dori Clark. Dori is an internationally recognized coach. She's an author of several best-selling books. She's a lecturer at the Fuqua School of Business at Duke University. And she is one of those people who has the ability to, for whatever reason, to just speak clarity into circumstances. And so on this episode, Dori and I are going to have a chat about what's going on right now, about what she's seeing, what she's observing, about conversations that she's having with leaders in the marketplace and professionals in the marketplace, and how we can be thinking about things like how we seize opportunity in the midst of this while at the same time mitigating the uncertainty that these times bring. And so we're going to dive into that conversation with Dori in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Literati. So these days, it seems like our lives are filled with stories that are a little disheartening. And now more than ever, we need stories that motivate us, that inspire us, stories from unique perspectives that lift us up and dare us to connect with diverse people who think differently. And that's why we all need Literati. If there's one thing that we're all craving after this topsy-turvy year, it's an uplifting holiday season. We want the celebrations. We want the community. We want the conversations that will give us hope and inspiration going into 2021. And again, that's why we need Literati. So Literati is a subscription book club that sends a beautiful book to your door each month, handpicked by world-renowned authors and leaders. Literati has book clubs curated by fascinating luminaries like Malala Yousafzai, Stephen Curry, Richard Branson, and Susan Orlean. With over a million new books released every year, finding impactful stories can be daunting, and Literati takes care of that. Every month, you'll get one paperback or hardcover book that's specific to your luminaries club, like Malala's club, Fearless, or Stephen Curry's club, Underrated. These are life-changing books personally picked by awe-inspiring people. There's a personal foreword from your luminary in each month's book. You'll also be able to use the Literati app to discuss what you read with your luminary. Yes, really, and with other readers. The Literati app gives you exclusive access to discussions led by book club luminaries, Malala, Stephen Curry, Richard Branson, Susan Orlean, and others. You won't get insight or access like this anywhere else. And by the way, gift subscriptions are also available for 3, 6, or 12 months of books. It's a great way to keep the holiday magic going through 2021, whether you're gifting a friend, a family member, or yourself. So go to literati.com/accidentalcreative to find your perfect book club and sign up today. Again, no one has book clubs like these. Go to literati.com/accidentalcreative to get one book every month curated by today's leading authors and visionaries. They'll know I sent you when you go to literati.com/accidentalcreative. Make your holidays unforgettable this year. We thank Literati for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's such a pleasure to have back on the Accidental Creative Podcast, Dory Clark. Dory, and I think I've told her this, but she's like one of my most trusted voices in the marketplace. Whenever I'm encountering or experiencing anything, one of my instincts is to say, I wonder what Dory thinks about this, and to kind of go and read some of her stuff. She's written for a number of publications. She is a lecturer at the Fuqua School of Business at Duke University. Is that still correct, Dory?
It is, yeah. And good pronunciation, Todd. I like it.
Thank you. And she has published a number of books, including Entrepreneurial You, Stand Out, and others, best-selling books. She's been recognized as one of the top coaches in the world, which is an incredible honor. Welcome back, Dory, to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Thanks, Todd. Always a treat to get to talk with you.
And now that I've given your extensive introduction, I think we're just about out of time. So thanks for coming. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
It's been fantastic.
So for those who may not be fully familiar with your work, could you just tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So my most recent book, Entrepreneurial You, was really about the benefits of a portfolio career. And that's kind of the mantra that I try to live. I do a little bit of a lot of things. I teach for Duke, as you mentioned. I write books when there is not a pandemic. I spend a lot of my time on the road giving keynote speeches, consulting, executive coaching. But really, the through line and the narrative that connects them is I come out of a background in marketing and communications. And so a lot of what I do is helping people and helping companies think through how they can get their message heard in a world that seems like it is doing nothing but get more crowded and noisy, and really figure out how to break through that.
Yeah. And I think right now, especially, I mean, I think about what's happened in 2020. This would have been a crazy year anyway without a pandemic, because we had, you know, a lot of obviously social unrest happening. We had, was there an election this year? Did that happen this year? Yeah, I think there was a presidential election.
I think now that you mention it.
In the US. You know, I had a book actually that launched in October. And I remember having the conversation last year, like, do we think that's going to be okay? And they're like, yeah, it's just the election. That's all that's happening. And I think we'll be fine. We'll be able to, you know, it doesn't really affect. And then like everything else happened, right? So, you know, this has been a year, I think, where we're all shifting our game to adjust to what's going on in the world right now. And I think that just about the time we figure out the formula, I think it'll all be over. But I hear everybody saying everything has changed, but I don't think that's really true. I think the more accurate way of saying it is everything is changing. You know, it seems like really the pandemic has accelerated so many things we were already seeing happening, but now it's sort of all happened at once, which is, I think, that might be the best motto for 2020, is let's just do everything at once, right? But what do you think, as you look at what's going on right now in the marketplace, and you interact with a lot of leaders, a lot of companies, what do you think of what we're experiencing right now is going to be permanent on the other side, versus what do you think is stuff that we're doing right now just to adapt, but then we'll kind of go back to the old ways?
Well, I think pretty much everyone at this point has decided that shopping online is just way easier, way better.
Yeah.
But, you know, even the holdouts are like, oh, actually getting up before dawn on Black Friday, maybe that actually wasn't so much fun. Maybe that was right. A little cold even.
right. Well, again, that's one of those accelerated changes, right? Like that was going to happen at some point, but it kind of all happened at once because of the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say in all seriousness that probably the biggest overarching trend that I see, and I think this manifests in a lot of different ways, is what sociologists like to term the Matthew effect, referring to a passage from the Bible. And basically it's about rising levels of inequality in just, you know, this is not just about financial inequality, but it's in almost every realm. You know, in the Bible, it talks, you know, there's a saying that, you know, those who have been given a lot will get more, and those who have little, they're going to have even that taken away, which is actually pretty, pretty depressing and morbid. But what we're seeing is that actually, there are so many instances where something like, you know, to take online shopping as one example, Amazon during the pandemic has thrived. They've added over 400,000 new employees just during the pandemic. The things are bigger and better than ever, because if you have a competitive advantage already, it gets magnified. And then meanwhile, of course, we see lots of local businesses, small businesses going under, unfortunately. And so I think that we need to understand that there is an acceleration of the trend, that the people or the companies that already have a toehold are going to be able to consolidate those gains. And so I think the real question that a lot of us have to face is, okay, how can, you know, in a very competitive world where there are a limited number of winners, how do we make sure that we are among them? I think that becomes a really crucial question.
Yeah, I've heard this phrase, the K-shaped recovery, which makes complete sense to me. And I think that kind of describes what that dynamic that you're explaining here, which is that, you know, for those who have the means, you're doing pretty well right now, actually. I mean, even if you think just on an individual level, think about the people who have money in the stock market, people who have money to invest are actually doing really, really well right now. People who work from home on their laptops, you know, like, it kind of stinks not to be able to go to work, but, like, you know, doing pretty well right now. But people who don't have resources, even on an individual level, and people who don't have access to maybe some of the technological advantages, you know, they're seeing decline and accelerating decline. So it's really interesting because, again, we've been seeing this trend of economic disparity growing. You know, the gap between the wealthiest of the wealthy and the poorest of the poor has been growing. But it seems like the pandemic has really, really poured fuel on that fire in a significant way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's well put.
So as we're talking about this, you know, we're talking about, I'm sure that many leaders and organizations you work with are trying to discuss how do we take advantage of what's going on right now. What are some themes that you're hearing from leaders and from professionals that you're working with right now?
Well, I think that one of the things that is important to keep in mind is, how can you take the constraints that are enforced on us by the pandemic and make them work for you? And so I think back to my own business, and something that was really heavily on my mind, Todd, and perhaps on yours, in March and April. Nobody knew how it was going to go. It seemed not at all impossible that there could be a complete economic collapse. I mean, it's almost bizarre that the stock market has done so well, but it seemed perfectly reasonable in March or April that, wow, this is going to be worse than the Great Depression. You know, nobody's going to be earning any money, and, you know, for the next year or whatever. Right. And so at that time, I said, all right, if money is not available as a currency, how can I lean into other forms of currency? And so I began really aggressively going on a content creation binge, because I said, you know what, at the end of it, eventually there will be money. You know, maybe it's a year from now, maybe it's 2 years from now, but eventually there will be money that can be spent. And in the meantime, if you can capture additional market share between now and then, that is what's going to put you in a positive position to be able to capitalize on it. And so I began doing tons of LinkedIn Lives. I actually started over the summer a collaboration with Newsweek, where I'm doing a weekly live stream interview series for them, and just started doing a lot of that because I realized, okay, one of the most important things that we can do during this time is just kind of marshal our forces, so that at the end of it, whenever that happens, we will be in as close to a market leader position as one can be.
Yeah, and you talk about market share. I think also what you're doing that's so brilliant is you're capturing mind share, right? You know, you're trying to stay top of mind, because there is going to come a time, and frankly, a lot of people who are in the space, and just like probably anybody listening right now, there are a lot of people in the specific industry or who do what you and I do, who are frankly not going to make it through this, right? They're probably, unfortunately, not going to make it to the other side. And that's probably true of a lot of freelancers and people who are kind of out in the marketplace in any capacity. those who are able to make it through this and maintain mind share to be top of mind when all of this is over, I think are going to have a tremendous opportunity to gain the rewards on the other side of it. But right now is, as you said, right now is the time to adapt. And right now is the time to begin to do new things. And you talk about this a lot in Entrepreneurial You about the importance of the portfolio life, right? I think that so many people put all of their eggs in one basket. And then when something like a pandemic takes that away, suddenly we realize how vulnerable we are, even though we thought that we were invulnerable before. What are some ways that people can begin thinking about more diversity in their portfolio, you know, how they approach their life and their career and their work so that they're more resilient during these times?
Yeah, it's such an important question, Todd. I mean, ultimately, what we have seen in the business world is there has continually, in the interest of productivity and efficiency, there's been a push toward things like just-in-time sourcing, for instance, in the supply chain, which, of course, as we all saw early in the pandemic, can lead to really devastating consequences. Like, it's great when things are going well and things are humming smoothly, and if you need, you know, this amount of steel or whatever, you know you can get it by tomorrow and produce what you need. But if there's any kind of a hiccup in the supply chain, that efficiency becomes a huge liability for you because you can get off schedule by months. And so if we think about that applied to ourselves, applied to, you know, to us as professionals and as, you know, creators, creative entrepreneurs, I think that something that we need to really consider is that the quest for efficiency may be misleading us a little bit. Because oftentimes the idea is, oh, well, I don't want to divert my attention. I need to focus. I need to specialize, and that'll enable me to maximize the output. And that's certainly true to a certain extent. Like, I, you know, in terms of my book, Entrepreneurial You, I certainly don't advise people to have five different careers where you're doing completely different things. You know, you're a freelance graphic designer, and you're a chess instructor, and you're a dog walker, and you're an IP attorney on the side. Like, no, that's way too much. It's ridiculous. But the question we should always be asking ourselves is, how do you take your core skill set and how do you apply it in different ways so that you can serve different customers through sort of different media, through different channels? And also, are there people that currently would want to work with you, but somehow your model is preventing it, that you can swoop up? So, I mean, just by way of example, and this was true for my business early on, if the only thing you offer is high-end bespoke consulting services, that's lovely, but there's only so many people that can pay tens of thousands of dollars to work with you. You know, it's just a particular group. But if you write a book that people can buy for $20, or if you create an online course that someone can buy for $200, that is opening up a whole new audience to you. And you already know this stuff. You already know this material. So it's not like you're having to reinvent the wheel. You're just packaging it differently in a way that makes you more resilient because you're expanding your customer base.
So what are a couple of questions people can ask to help them get to that place, right? Like, what should we be looking at or thinking about or asking to help us figure out what that portfolio might need to be for us?
So I have been thinking about this question a lot since the pandemic started. I've been pretty much the whole time here in New York where I live. And this was, of course, the first place in the US that really got hit hard. And I would spend hours just walking around the city, and everything was sort of quiet and shut down. And I would just take pictures of everything and noticing everything, because it seemed like such a sort of profound lesson somehow about how to think about adaptability. And so, inspired by a lot of the businesses that I saw, I think there are a few questions that we can be asking ourselves. One of them is, what else, what other sort of untapped resources do I have that I could be serving to my existing customers? So, for instance, there was an Indian restaurant that I would patronize, and it was just a typical Indian restaurant, you know, when it could be. But during the pandemic, they said, oh, wait a minute, we could sell groceries, because we have this whole basement full of like flour and sugar and curry powder or whatever. And so they turned into a hybrid grocery store slash restaurant. And you could go there and, you know, buy ketchup or canned goods or things like that. So I think a question that we can ask similarly is, okay, I have my existing base of customers who know me and trust me. Is there another thing that I could potentially offer to them? So, I mean, a lot of people who, you know, are they're my coaching clients or they're part of my recognized expert course and community, I've been in pretty close contact with them. And many of them, for instance, have decided now is a great time to start offering online courses as another way to provide services to people. Another, you know, great question is, how can you leverage technology in new ways to make it easier for your customers to do business with you? So certainly in New York, and I think probably in places around the country, you've seen the advent. I mean, this is a technology that's been around forever, but it wasn't widely used. Seen the advent of QR codes for menus. All of a sudden, everybody got paranoid about, oh my God, I can't touch this, you know, this menu that other people have touched. So they started creating these QR code menus. Some restaurants that I've gone to, it's actually amazing. You can place all your orders, do all your payment via your smartphone so that you don't have to really interact with a waiter at all, except for them to bring you food, and you don't have to touch anything. So it's completely COVID safe. I think we can be asking ourselves, are there ways that we can be using technology more effectively? This is a great time to, you know, to bring in, you know, software, perhaps, that that maybe you haven't. Maybe it's adding a Slack channel or using Basecamp. Maybe it's remote technologies. Maybe it's starting Voxer accounts or Marco Polos with your clients. I mean, whatever it is. But there's a lot of ways that you can actually use technology to enable the process and get tighter with your clients.
Hey everyone, just going to take a quick minute to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Patreon. So as a creator, it can feel like you're making stuff for practically everyone but yourself. Patreon is a creator-founded membership platform where you can build a reliable income stream to fuel your creative independence. No advertisers, no algorithms, no mainstream gatekeepers holding your paycheck or telling you what to do. On Patreon, the people who love what you make can directly support it with paid subscriptions. And in return, they'll get access to exclusive content and custom rewards. Find the creative freedom to do your best work and the financial stability to make it possible. So if you're an illustrator, a video creator, a podcaster, an artist, or a creative person of any kind, sign up today at patreon.com. That's patreon.com and start creating on your own terms. We thank Patreon for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. And now back to the interview with Dori Clark. So you also are one of the great authorities in personal branding and making yourself known, sort of carving out your space in the market. How should we be thinking about personal branding right now? Because I, on one hand, I feel like there's a great opportunity because people are kind of, in some ways, like, even though it seems like there's a lot going on, people are paying attention right now because they're online a lot more. Like people are, you know, sitting at their computer all day, or they're on their phone all day or whatever. On the other hand, like, it seems like a weird time to be trying to market in the middle of a pandemic, right? So, or to brand right now. So what advice do you have for people about personal branding during this time?
Well, I think that one of the questions that was really on people's minds a lot, especially in the early days of the pandemic, was wanting to make sure that you were striking the right note. I heard lots of colleagues kind of stressing about this, striking the right note between wanting to be out there, wanting to be present, wanting to be helpful, and not be perceived as somehow opportunistic or like, taking advantage of the tragedy or something like that. So I think, though, that the principles that are always good principles to follow in personal branding really do apply here. If the caricature of personal brand, and this is the part that people don't like, and rightfully so, is the idea of chest thumping and, oh, I'm so great. Look at me. Look at all my amazingness. Right. You know, nobody really likes that ever. But if we come from a place of trying to be useful, and this is why one of the drums that I bang repeatedly is content creation, specifically content creation focused around the user. You know, what can you offer to somebody else that is just helpful educational content? Nobody is ever going to say, oh, that Todd, what a jerk. I can't believe he wrote this 3,000 word article that helps me solve a problem I need to solve. You know, right, it just doesn't compute when you do it that way. So if we can just stay very, very focused on our customer and not ourselves, you really can't go wrong. I mean, a problem, I have strong opinions about email newsletters, which I love. I believe in the value and the concept of email newsletters, but where so many people go wrong is that it's almost like this like report card you'd show to your parents. Like, let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you where I've been speaking. Let me tell you about my clients. Let me tell you about my services. And it's like your relatives would like that, but literally no one else does. But if you reorient it to say, Here's some resources about solving this problem. Here's some resources about this issue. And you get in the heads of your customers and actually provide actionable things for them. They will be loyal and grateful forever for that. And it's the best way to establish your personal brand.
I love that. I love that. And I think just that question of how can I be helpful right now? You know, just having that posture, that mindset, like you will never have a tarnished brand if you're always asking, how can I be helpful? You know, I think it's when, like you said, when people try to force an agenda onto others, I think that that's where things often go awry. So what right now, as we're recording this, we have just been told, you know, there are vaccines, those vaccines are going to be available very soon. You know, hopefully within a matter of many, many months, you know, things will start to look a little more normal. What is Dori Clark's best advice to people right now? If you were sitting across from someone who right now is in the midst of all of this and they're starting to, you know, they're kind of starting to feel a little worn. They're starting to kind of feel like, I don't know how much longer I can go through this. You know, what would be your best advice right now for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're probably all there, right? That that this has been a much slower phenomenon to unfold than we had hoped or imagined. I was looking back at my Instagram the other day, and I remember in March when they shut down the gym in my building, and I was sort of crestfallen. I was just like, oh my God, how am I gonna stay fit? How am I going to be healthy? And so I took a picture of this staircase by my house, and I captioned it, my gym for the next few weeks. And
it's yes. Like, oh, yeah. The next few weeks, right.
I'm like, okay. And now it was my gym for like 5 months.
Right.
So we're all dragging for sure. But I think ultimately it's kind of a question of two things. I mean, one is treating ourselves with enough grace to recognize that we can't be pushing hard all the time. I mean, I think about, you know, if it's 10 o'clock at night, in theory, I could still be doing email or still be doing work. But I know just from my own energy levels that, you know, I'm just too burned out at that point. Like my brain is gone. And so if what I feel like doing is just like watching a movie on TV or something, I'm not going to be hard on myself for that. You know, that's a part of the cycle. We have to recognize that there are cycles in all of this. So slowing down a little bit is I think normal, but it's equally important to make sure that we're not just checking out entirely, because you can't afford to do that. You can't, you know, it's not good for any of us, and I think we know it intellectually, to say, oh, you know, let's just write off this entire 12 months or this entire 16 months or whatever of our lives. Like, things do need to move forward. And so even if we are making small progress, the fact that we are moving forward in a general sense is what is going to give us enough momentum and I think ultimately enough hope to allow us to make a meaningful recovery in our businesses personally, and I think writ large in the economy. So the question is, you know, what is, even if you're not feeling it, what is just the smallest thing that you can do today or this week to move the ball forward so that when 2021 lands, you're actually feeling proud of yourself and you're feeling like, oh, good, you know, I actually did set myself up for success here.
I love that. That is Fantastic advice. Dory, if people want to come learn more about you and become more acquainted with your work, where can they go?
Todd, thank you so much. One of the best ways, and we talked about this a little bit, is through my book, Entrepreneurial You. And if folks are interested in thinking about how they can build out their own portfolio careers and build up multiple streams of income so that they can become more financially resilient, I have a free resource, which is the 88 Question Entrepreneurial You Self-Assessment. And folks can get that for free at doryclark.com/entrepreneur.
Fantastic. Well, Dory, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks, man. Great to talk to you.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.